Thank you for your kind comments about preaching last night. It reminded me, there's a great story about Spurgeon and Parker. Was Parker's first name James, I think? Two great preachers in England at the same time. And they said when people went to hear James Parker, they would come out of the mess, out of the service, and say, "What a great preacher." And when they went to the tabernacle and heard Spurgeon preach, they would come out and say, "What a great God." And I'm glad you liked the preaching last night. But boy, there's something higher to aim at, isn't there? What a great God. And we don't know yet how great he is. And I pray that if this will help us together get a little closer to him. I love the statement. I read it again, and I'm trying to build on, work around the statement that was in the brochure. The purpose of the men's retreat is to gather together men who are not satisfied with the status quo and are thirsting for God, men who are longing for a deeper, more intimate walk with God, men who desire to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in their homes, churches, and communities. If this describes you or your desire, or you desire it to be, then join us. Men who are longing for a deeper, more intimate walk with God. And we'll focus in on that kind of thing, I think, right now. I want to read from that text in Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Amazing, I don't know. I say an amazing book, the book of Ephesians, and I always think, you know, I'm sure God's impressed that I find what he wrote amazing. But it is just an amazing thing. And the first word of verse 14 is for, you know, for this reason in the ESV. And that's, well, what reason? And so you want to go back and find out what he's referring to. And so you go to the head of the previous paragraph and it says, of this gospel. And you say, well, what's he talking about? Of this gospel. What has he said about the gospel? So you go back to the beginning of the previous paragraph and it starts, for this reason. And you say, now I got to go back further. And you go back to the beginning of the previous paragraph and the first word of verse 11 is therefore. And you say, well, what's he talking about? So you have to go back even further and you end up in chapter 2, verse 1. All to try to make sense of this prayer that he says in verse, that he begins in verse 14. Read large chunks when you read. You know, we're great at memorizing verses. You know, you pick out the little thing out of the loaf of bread on your table and read one little verse, but boy, go find out what it's talking about. But let's read this, Ephesians 3, 14. And we'll deal with the for this reason in a minute. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray as we try to go into this text this morning. Father, thank you for causing this to be written. And we thank you for the centuries that while men tried to destroy it, here it is. And you have not allowed it to be destroyed. And we are able to read it here this morning. And we believe that one of the reasons you've preserved it is so that we would be here this morning gathered around this text. And so we pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, would be acceptable in your sight. That we would get out of this text only what you have put in. That we would not say anything it says that it doesn't say. We would not put anything in that's not there. We would not take out anything that you haven't already put in. But we would benefit far more greatly by just gleaning from this text what you want for us. So, Holy Spirit, we pray, prevent our minds from wandering to a thousand other things and enable us to see what is here for us, and may it feed our souls and make us the better men, we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So last night we just talked about dealing with our sins and not the sins of others, getting back to God by God's help, devoting ourselves to love and justice, and not trying to do God's work for Him, waiting on God continually. And I said that that was a bit of a preface to getting in here into this text. This prayer, this prayer goes from verse 14 to 19. Paul is praying. Ephesians is a general letter. It probably went to the church at Ephesus, but it went to other churches as well. But we'll focus on the Ephesians. He's praying for the people he writes, and this is his prayer for them. There's another prayer that Paul has for them in chapter 1. We'll look at it briefly in a bit. From verses 15 all the way to the end of chapter 1 is a prayer. The basic prayer is in verse 17, that you would, I like the way the NIV words it best, that you may know God better. It's basically the prayer in chapter 1. And his prayer here, he says, for this reason I pray. And so he has said something that gives him reason to pray this prayer. And so you want to find out, so you go back to see. Okay? And it takes you back to chapter 3, verse 1, which begins, for this reason. And what is happening here is that Paul says things in chapter 2, say verses 1 to 22, but especially of verses 11 to 22, about the gospel. And that causes him to want to pray for these people. He says, for this reason. All the preachers here, this is a very encouraging text, because Paul starts, for this reason, chapter 3, verse 1, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, on behalf of you Gentiles. And when he says that, his mind wanders. He goes somewhere else. He is about to say, for this reason, I'm going to pray for you. But when he describes himself as a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of you guys, his head goes elsewhere and his heart goes elsewhere, and he has to say something else. He has something to say before he speaks, you see. And so he gets, from verse 2 to the end of verse 13, it's just a parenthesis. He's saying something else. It's a powerful parenthesis. But he starts talking to them about his ministry and what his call is. But the for this reason in chapter 3, verse 1, goes back to chapter 2, where he's talking about that Gentiles and Jews are saved by the same gospel, are being built into one temple. And so when you get to the for this reason of verse 14, the reason is because you're saved. And because you're all saved together into one body and one temple, rising up to become a holy temple in Christ. That's what he says at the end of chapter 2. In whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. You guys are being built together to be a dwelling place of God by the Spirit. Therefore, I pray for you, is what this is about. Since he has saved you. And he starts into that in chapter 3, verse 1. And he gets carried away about the wonder of his call. Assuming that you have heard, verse 2 says, of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Look what God has enabled me to do. Preach to you the gospel. How the mystery was made known to me by revelation. The mystery here is that Jew and Gentile can be one together in one body in Christ. And it wasn't made known in verse 5 to the sons of men in other generations, but it's been revealed to us now. And then he really gets down to it, but what his ministry is that leads him to pray. Of this gospel, he says in verse 7, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. See, I've received power. And what does he pray for these guys? That you would have power to know the love of Christ. That you would be empowered by the Spirit in your inner being. He's focusing on the power here. That by the working of his power, to me, though I was least of all the saints, in chapter 3, verse 8, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Look what God has done for me. He's enabled me to preach the gospel of the unsearchable riches of Christ to you. And to bring to light for everything what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that's his ministry. But this may be off topic a little bit, but I think it relates. Then he tells them why he has this ministry. Verse 10, he says, so that, I have this ministry, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. I have been given the task of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ to you so that when you get saved, the church can do what it's called to do. And what it's called to do is display the manifold wisdom of God to rulers and authorities in heavenly places. Now, who or what are the heavenly authorities? Or the authorities in heavenly places? There's only one other place where that phrase is used. In Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers. Same phrase as what you hear, what you have here. We wrestle against rulers and authorities. So the rulers and the authorities are the bad guys. They're the enemy. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against rulers and authorities. And the purpose of the church is to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God to rulers and authorities. The purpose of the church, guys, is to show the devil how wise God is in saving you. You say, no, the devil would come and say, that doesn't show that God's wise, that shows that God's an idiot. We say, no. The wisdom of God is shown here that despite all about us, we still get to go to glory. And that he works out a plan formed before the foundations of the world through such as we are. He changes us and makes us useful in the kingdom of Christ. We sin and you, the accuser of the brethren, come before God and say, he's mine. And our great advocate, Jesus Christ, comes before the Father and ever lives to intercede for us. He's not his. I won him. And I'll set him straight. And we fall into a sin, and the next day we're on our knees. My word, did you pay attention to the prayers that were prayed here this morning? And Jesus comes and says to Satan, what a loser you are. You can't have him. I won him. He's mine. And we repent, and we are forgiven. And we get up, and in our weakness and fear and frailty, we give the gospel to somebody. And that somebody gets saved. And the church demonstrates to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. For this reason, I pray for you. I go, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family on heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he will grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that you can do what you're called to do, show the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers, so that you will have a greater power working in you than works in them. What a thing this is. Answers my lawyer's question. Why didn't God destroy the devil as soon as he fell? Because God's got a plan to destroy him in a far better way. He will destroy the devil by saving a vast, numberless multitude of people from every tribe and nation and tongue and people, showing the devil that his work is a lost cause. And if the devil's working hard, Revelation 12 tells us now why. Because he knows his time is short. And he's like a cornered bear, wounded, vicious, but whose fate is secured, who cannot win. Therefore, Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father so that you will have this power to show principalities and powers my God's great wisdom. A great thing this is. One of the first things this tells us, after the first thing I just told you. You want to fulfill your purpose, guys, in your church, even as an individual. Paul says this is your purpose, to demonstrate to principalities and powers, because you're saved. Since you have such a high calling, we get on our knees. That's what this says. Since we have an incredible calling to demonstrate to the devil what a loser he is, get on your knees and pray. Paul says, there's your calling. It's mind warping. Therefore, I get on my knees before my Father and pray for you. This is where the battle is. The meeting started here just now. We can't do anything without prayer. Why is it that Bible reading and prayer is the easiest thing to neglect in our Christian lives? Because it is. They are. Because they're the most important things. Devil doesn't care about a lot of things you get involved in. But he cares you start your day on your knees. And he cares that you flip open that book to hear what God has to say. And that's what Paul's saying. You got a great calling. Therefore, pray for power. Because this is a prayer for power. That according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. I have a friend in Sarnia. I was preaching at a church in Sarnia, and I mentioned how important the doctrine of the Trinity is. And the guy, he called me up on the phone. He said, I got a few books on the Trinity for you. I said, would you like to read them? And I said, sure. And he drove from Sarnia to my house just up here and gave me 18 books on the Trinity. We have a God that is inexplicable. And he said, I've read 67 books on the Trinity. And I said, well, you just need to get out more. But you can't, you can't. Comprehend an incomprehensible God. And we study God, but look at this prayer. This is just a side note. I get on my knees before the Father that you would be strengthened through his Spirit so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. I pray to the Father that you'll have the Spirit so that you will have Christ. An incredible thing. Anybody ever says to you the Trinity can't be found in the Bible? Well, you just want to knock them on the head and check and see if there's anything in there. How hollow it sounds. It's incredible. That's just a side point. Get on your knees. And this is a prayer for power. I quoted a verse last night from 2 Peter chapter 1. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. A bit of a misquote. The actual quote is, his divine power has granted us everything that we need for life and godliness. The power of God is at work in us. You say, God, not very powerful. But you woke up this morning still a believer. And we prayed together here. And I remember we had a man in Newfoundland in our church there. And quite often he would start his prayers and say, Oh Lord, if you would withhold your grace for just today, we would all perish. And that's true. That's true. And his divine power is constantly at work so that you haven't forsaken. I don't want to get involved in a theological debate with anybody here this week. But we had a lady in our church who was arguing that you could lose your salvation, and we were arguing the other way. And so this friend of mine who prayed that, he said, then why don't you leave? Leave. Leave Christ. And she said, no, I can't leave Christ. He said, you can't. You don't want to. She said, no, I don't want to. Why don't you want to? Anyway, you want to debate that with me, we'll have the debate. But he keeps us. Why am I still believing? Because he won't let me go. And I want to be empowered by Christ. I was referring you to these prayers of Paul for his church. Listen now. In the prayer in chapter 1, in verse 17, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Have a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of God. NIV words it better. That you may know God better. Having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is, that you may know what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe. I want you to know God's power at work in you. And then in that chapter 1 prayer, he says, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. This is the power that we have access to. I think of the leadership cartoon, and the pastor's leaning on the pulpit like this, and he says, this is my third week preaching on the transforming power of the gospel. Why do you look like the same old bunch? And that's a fair question. I want you to know, Paul says, the power of God that works in you, it is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. What do we have access to? And the prayer is that we would know it and be strengthened by it, strengthened with power through his spirit in our inner being. We'll get to the inner being in a minute. I referred you to another prayer last night that Paul has for Colossians 1, verse 9. From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power. Know the power that is strengthening you. I mentioned the prayer last night from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. To this end, we also pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power. Why don't I grow better? Why don't I do better? Why am I not more holy? We need to pray these kind of things because the issue is not a lack of power. The issue is not a lack of willingness on God's part. These are prayers prayed to God, given to us in inspired literature that tells us this is what God wants for us. And why are we still the same old bunch? It's there for us. He has provided us everything we need. There is power. Power, wonder-working power. there's something wrong, and it's not on his side of the equation. You know the old saying, if you're far away from God, guess who moved? And we're not the ones who move, or he's not the one who moves. So the prayer that Paul has for the people in Rome is the power to know God, power in our inner being to be more like Christ. This was Paul's prayer for himself. I asked my father, I had to take a course one time. I jumped denominations. I went from the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches in Canada to the Atlantic United Baptist Convention. Okay? And they were willing to take me in, but they said, you got to take some courses on Maritime Baptist history to learn about us, since you got your education with them, right? So I had to take these courses, and I had to take a course in Maritime Baptist history, and one of my assignments was to write a biography of a living Baptist pastor. Well, my father was a living Baptist pastor at the time, and so I interviewed him and wrote the paper, and near the end of the interview, I said, Dad, what would you do differently? And oh my, what a life that man had, serving as a missionary in Newfoundland, and he'd tell you all the horror stories. And the reason I actually moved in with the Russells, because my father got fired from a church, not for any moral reasons or financial, well, it was a financial reason. He was in debt. They fired him for being in debt. And for hanging around with an evangelical pastor that they didn't like and so on. But his life was hard. I said, what would you change? And I was expecting something different from what I got. He said, I'd pray more. That was all he said. I would pray more. And that's, Paul had a prayer for himself. Listen to the prayer he had for himself. I count everything as loss, this is Philippians 3:8, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. This is what he wants for himself. To gain Christ, be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, so that, here's his prayer, I may know him and the power of his resurrection and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. I want to know the power of his resurrection at work in me all the time. A prayer for power. And so the prayer in Ephesians 3 is a prayer to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, strengthened with power through his Spirit. It's a prayer to pray to know the love of God, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. I want you to be controlled, power to be controlled by the Spirit, power to know the love of Christ, so that the end of the prayer, you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Be everything with God in you that God wants you to be. That's this prayer. What an incredible thing. All because we are saved and have a calling from God to show the devil what a loser he is. That's a great mission. You watch these Ukrainian guys on TV, on the little video clips that are coming out. They know what the odds are. They know how things are stacked against them. Last night I watched the president with the vice president and the head of the government. There were five government leaders standing there saying, we will not buckle. We will not bow. And oh, that we could catch that. Now they might lose. But guys, we can't lose. We can have that attitude and know we can't lose. The kings of the earth gather together Let us throw off the bonds of God and God in heaven. What does it say God does with the kings of the earth who gather together to plot against the Holy One? He laughs at them. Psalm 2. God looks and laughs. We can't lose. If a Ukrainian president, who if he's caught will be dead within a few hours of his being caught, can have that kind of attitude, how much better can we, who if they kill us, only do us a favor? Incredible. This is good stuff. I have a question for you, and you might fire me for this one. In all these prayers, why does Paul never pray for these people to give the gospel? He doesn't. In fact, after the Great Commission, in all the epistles of the New Testament, how many commands are there to give the gospel? Not one. Unless you count where Paul says to Timothy, preach the word. Why is that? You're not getting off the hook. Don't have to give the gospel. You know, that's not it. Do you know what we are commanded to do in the prayers? Do you know what Paul prays for his people, what we should be praying for ourselves? Get to know God better. Be filled with his power. The song from the 60s, I preach to people, most of the time I preach to young people, and I have to quote the songs, but you might know this one. To know you is to what? There you go. Why are we told again and again and again and again, get to know God better. Get to know God better. Be filled, be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Find out how much Christ loves you. That's a command to give the gospel. That's knowing the gospel, isn't it? I love that, Rain. That's good. You grow to love Christ. Nobody has ever said to me, when your hockey team wins, tell somebody about it. For a couple of years, when I was an early teenager, I was a goalie. And my favorite player in all the world was Johnny Bower. I loved Johnny Bower. I prayed. When I was a kid, I prayed that when I grew up, I would be 5'9" tall. That's how tall Johnny Bower is. I am 5'9". I wish all my prayers got answered that definitely. And several years ago, I was getting on an elevator in a hospital to visit somebody. I get on the elevator in the basement, stops at the first floor. Johnny Bower walked in to the elevator. I had Johnny Bower and his daughter. I was with another man who was a Montreal Canadiens fan, and we just put him in the corner and just left him there. And we talked. He got off at the fifth floor, I think. I had Johnny Bower for four floors, and nobody got on. And I said, Mr. Bower. And his daughter's face just lit up. And I said, I almost worshipped you when I was a kid. And I told him the joke I told him about praying to be that tall. He said, well, I'm 90 years old. He said, I'm not that tall anymore. And we chatted. And he reaches into his pocket. And he says, I said, I've got that in an 8x11 on my office wall. He said, you do? I said, you have no idea how important you were to my life. He said, well, it's good to meet you. He was glad to meet me. I have an autograph. We had a man in our church who worked at the airport. He was a baggage slinger at the airport. And he saw Johnny Bower in a lineup. And I had told stories about how much I loved Johnny Bower. I hadn't met him yet. And he ran up to him and he had a boarding pass. And he said on the back of the boarding pass, my pastor would love it for you to sign this. And it says, to Ken. number one, Johnny Barr. I got that framed next to the picture in my office. He saw him again another time, and he said, my pastor's turning 50. He said, he is. And I've got, happy 50th birthday, Ken, number one, Johnny Barr. And that's on the other side of the picture. I picture Johnny Barr, a little autograph, Johnny Barr. And then I met him on the elevator. And I didn't tell a soul. Do you believe that? I got off that elevator. I went home. I posted it on Facebook. I put it in emails. I told everybody I could. And God didn't come out of heaven with a voice and say, Ken, go tell your friends that you met Johnny Barr. He didn't need to do that. I met Johnny Barr. I have been saved by Jesus Christ. Do I have to have my arm twisted? What's the problem? I need to get to know God better. That's my problem. I need to know the width and breadth and length and depth of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that I will be filled with all the fullness of God, and it'll fall out of me. And my problem is, I let other things get in the way. And I get bothered with trivial things. And he doesn't fall out of me like he should. That's what this is about. Now, I'm not going to go over time today. That's the prayer. And we stop there, but we must not stop there. Because the next thing Paul says, and we treat it like it's not related. We use it as a benediction at the end of the service. But it's much more than that. The next thing Paul says is, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is within us. What has he just said? I pray that you will be strengthened by the Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, so that you will know the great love of God and be filled with the fullness of God. What a prayer request. How can that ever happen? And Paul says, I'll tell you how. Because you're asking the one who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Would you ever come up with a prayer request that said, fill me with all the fullness of God? I wouldn't dare pray that. Except that Paul says here, that's what he prays. How dare I? It's not about me, it's about him. And he can do that because he can do immeasurably more than all we ask. So ask. And don't stop asking. And thank you, Raymond, for your prayer about Jacob, that we would have the attitude, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Here's the prayer. Power in the Spirit, so that we know the love of Christ and are everything that God wants us to be. Filled with the fullness of God doesn't mean you become God, but we're full of everything he wants for us. And we trip and we fall and we slip, but we never stop praying this, because we are asking the one who can do more than we ask. Oh Lord, here's what I ask. Do more. And that just a little side note. When you don't know what to pray, what does God do for you? God the Holy Spirit intercedes for you with groanings you can't utter. When God the Spirit ask God the Father for something for you, do you think you're going to get it? This is amazing. And so he says, here's this great prayer. I want you to know God. I want you to know the love of God. I want you to be filled with the fullness of God. And ask a God who can do more than you ask. But I also think that this little verse here, now to him who is able to do more, not only relates to the prayer that Paul has just prayed, but it relates to what comes after. It's a bridge. And what comes after is this: to him be glory. That's the benediction. And then he starts into chapter 4. Paul didn't write with chapters, so the next thing he says is, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. I pray that you'll be strengthened with power so that you'll have Christ in you. You will know how much Christ loves you. You will be filled with all the fullness of God because you're praying to a God who can do more than you think. And since you're praying to a God who can do more than you ask or think, I also ask, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling. God can make me obedient, faithful, more faithful, more obedient, because he can do more than I ask or think. Right? Now we're talking about power. Power. I go to the Colossians 1 prayer again. I hope your fingers don't get too tired going back and forth. Listen to this. And I'll bring it back to Ephesians 3 and then we'll be done. Paul's prayer for the Colossians is, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for, and after the word for, he's going to tell them what they should do with the power of his might. So he says, I want you to be strengthened with all power so that you can do the following. Now, what? Don't look. Maybe you know what the answer is anyway. You know your scriptures. I want you to be filled with all power according to his might to do what? Paul says to me, I want you to have all the power of God to do the following. And what am I thinking of? I'm thinking of walking on water. I'm going to perform great miracles. I'm going to wow the masses. I'm going to plant a church, and in 2 years, it'll have 12,000 people in it. I'm going to do great things. I've got all the power of God working for me. Increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. I want you to have all the power of God for you so that you can endure hard things, be patient with hard people, and be happy about it. That's what it says. For all endurance, that's hard things, persevering through hardship, and patience. If I could just live just by myself, I could be a very patient man. Right? But I got you guys, and I got to be patient. And I'm preaching to you, and you have to be patient. So, to endure hard things, to be patient with hard people, and I can do that. And then Paul slips this in, with joy. Like Peter says in 1 Peter 4, be hospitable without grumbling. I said, I can be hospitable, but I can't grumble about it. The little Dennis the Menace cartoon, and Dennis's father has his boss over for dinner. And his boss says, what are we having? And Mrs. Mitchell says, we're having roast beef. And Dennis says, no, Mom, you said we were having an old grouch for dinner. So, you know, I don't mind being hospitable, but God says I got to enjoy being hospitable. I can endure hardship, but God says, I want you to endure hardship and be joyful about it. And every time I hear some Christian saying that the tyrants in Ottawa are making me have a vaccine or making all these rules, that's fine for them. If that's your opinion, God bless you. But the Bible says when that happens to you, you are to rejoice. There's revival. The government's treating me badly. I got a letter from a lady in our church the other day, and she says, when are we meeting for the seniors? We're in charge of the seniors ministry at our church. When are the seniors meeting? And I said, here's when we're meeting. Here's what the theme is. And in her email, she said, if, she's making a political point,
if we're even allowed to meet, she says, how should we react if we're not allowed to meet? And I wrote her back and I said, if we're not allowed to meet, we will react the very way that Jesus said, we will rejoice. And she didn't write me back. I want you to have all the power of God so that you can put up with bad people or put up with bad things, be patient with bad people, and still have your joy. So in Ephesians 4, when Paul says, we serve a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works where? Where? In us. In us. Since we call on that God, I want you to walk worthy of your calling. What is that? Listen now. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Since we serve a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, get along. That's stunning. That's revival. It's just not what we think. But that's what he says to them. Paul, what a waste of God's power. You could have said, walk worthy of your calling and go perform great miracles. You could have said, walk worthy of your calling and poofed people into saving faith. You could have said a lot of things. And what you're going to say is that since we serve a God of this kind of power, be humble and gentle and patient and forbearing and united, keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So when we get along, what are we saying about ourselves? Here's what we're saying. We're not tapping in a God who can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We don't know the height and width and depth and breadth of the love of Christ. We are not filled with the fullness of God because we have not been strengthened with his power through his Spirit because we haven't prayed it. I need to remember that the next time I get my knickers in a knot with some Christian. I need to remember that I can be humble and gentle and patient. Christians I disagree with who say stupid things because I serve a God, I serve a great God who can do exceedingly abundantly. I preached from this text at my church at Thistletown one time about the power to be gentle versus the power to do great miracles, walk on water. And a young man from the church came up to me after the service and said, think it would be easier to walk on water. And I think he was right. What can God do for us? He can get me to love other believers, love my enemies, love my neighbor as myself, because I have seen what a great love he has for me. God bless you.